from publisher of Old Paths Advocate. I have recently accepted the responsibility as publisher of this religious journal, for I have thought that if I had any ability in the service of my master, it was in the evangelistic field. This I still believe, but it seems to me the will of the editors that I undertake the arduous task of publishing the paper, and to this will I resign. I appreciate very much the confidence manifested in selecting me to undertake this responsible duty, and I trust that I may ever merit this confidence. I feel very keenly my inability to carry on the work in the splendid way in which Brother Harper has served as publisher of the truth. I have nothing to promise you but a conscientious effort to give the best there is in me, and to the best of my ability give to all a square deal. With Brethren Homer A. Gay, J.D. Phillips, and H.C. Harper on the editorial staff with me, with their influence and assistance, I feel that my burden is made lighter. I believe that these are true and tried friends upon whom I can rely. And, too, Brother H.E. Robertson, a consecrated gospel preacher of this community, has promised to assist me with mailing out the paper and otherwise as I may need his assistance. This will enable me to continue in the evangelistic work as I have in the past. Otherwise, I would not have undertaken the publication. Finally, brethren, I ask you to be patient with my humble efforts and mistakes. Pray for me that I may ever strive to keep the Old Paths Advocate true to the name, and that it may be a means of bringing us all together and of learning more of the Lord's will concerning us. To him who loved us and died for us be all the praise, glory, and honor. Yours for the Old Paths, Homer L. King. Why we added Advocate. It was announced in the December issue of The Truth that the name of the paper would be changed to Old Paths, and we began immediately to make our arrangements to that effect. Just about the time I was ready to send the copy to the printers, I received word from Brother J.D. Phillips relative to the fact that he had received word that there was already in existence a publication by that name, and advising that we change the name to something else. Hence, we have added the word Advocate to the name, which does not materially change the thought expressed by the name Old Paths. We hope that all will be perfectly satisfied. This has made us a few days late getting the copy to the printers. Publisher. A new editor. With this issue, the name of Homer A. Gay was added to the editorial masthead. Brother Gay, who lived in Texas at the time, was born in Yellville, Arkansas, November 19, 1894. He had been preaching for several years throughout West Texas and was labeled by some, who espoused the modern innovations of the day, as a firebrand. As a young boy, he had moved west with his parents and nine older brothers and sisters. The family originally settled near Fort McCabot, Texas. His mother died while he was rather young, leaving him with responsibilities usually reserved for children who were much older. His religious background consisted mainly of teachings from the Baptist denomination. But in 1910, he heard his first gospel sermon from Brother D.L. Petty, who was engaged in a gospel meeting at Fort McCabot. Before the meeting closed, he answered the call of the gospel, being baptized. He soon was pressed into the service of the local church, and before he realized it, was starting in the direction of what would become his life's work, gospel preaching. Because of his quick wit, pleasant smile, sincere dedication, and speaking ability, he soon had preaching appointments at several nearby churches. His first article appeared in the Apostolic Way in 1918. As a young, aspiring preacher, he was conscious of his limitations. For a brief period, he attended Gunter Bible College and Abilene Christian College in an effort to better qualify himself for the work of preaching. He told me years later that even though he didn't receive a college degree, he felt the time spent at both institutions was worthwhile and to his benefit. Every preacher is indebted to a number of people for help, guidance, and encouragement. I suppose I am indebted more to Homer A. Gay than perhaps any other preacher. He took me with him when I was young and impressionable. I traveled thousands of miles with him and Susie from one meeting to another. I remember as a small boy growing up in Fort Worth, Texas, when Brother Gay came by the old Vaughn Boulevard Church to preach. That was something special. After making my first talk at Sulphur, Oklahoma camp meeting, he came up to me and asked me to travel with him. He made me believe I could preach long before I could. I remember how he required me to memorize the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus one summer while we were in South Alabama. I would memorize a chapter at a time, then go and recite before him. He had a quick Irish wit, always looking on the funny side of things. People used to gather round as he would spin one story after another. By the time he finished, everyone would be in stitches laughing. He loved to tell of the time he went to visit Susie before they married. He had just bought a new bummer hat. Boy, was he dressed up. When he entered the house, he stumped his toe on the threshold and fell into the end of the sofa, ramming the new hat down over his eyes. Then there was the one about his brother who dreamed he was going swimming and jumped out of bed onto the hard floor. I've heard him tell time and again about the two black ladies who met on the street corner down south one day and were talking about the goings-on in the small town where they lived. One remarked about how that so-and-so had died. "Did you go to the funeral?" the other asked. "Yes," was the reply. "Was there a big crowd present?" came the question. "Pretty good crowd for such a jumped-up affair," came the reply. Then he would add, "Just as though you could plan your funeral in order to have a big crowd." Homer Gay was rather short, had red hair, a twinkle in his eye, and usually a smile on his face. He was a good pulpiteer, always using stories to illustrate his sermon points. Though not noted as a debater, he had several. One of the great thrills of my life was attending his debate with J.L. Hines in Dallas, Texas, a classic if there ever was one. Dr. Hines was well-educated, quite an impressive-looking man who had for years written a question-and-answer column in the Gospel Broadcast. If ever a man mopped the floor with another, Homer Gay did in this debate. Brother E.O. Ebbett of Fort Worth, an avid reader who loved to talk with the digressives, had supplied Brother Gay with enough ammunition from the Gospel Broadcast columns to literally dislodge any argument Hines would make. Over and over, Brother Gay would say, "Now let's read from Brother Hines," or, "Well, let's let Brother Hines debate Brother Hines." On one night, Hines boasted of the fact that he had preached in several foreign countries. With that familiar twinkle in his eye, Brother Gay replied, "Well, Brother Hines, I've preached in Arkansas." Statements of this nature were so devastating that Hines soon found himself hopelessly buried beneath their weight. It is tragic that the debate couldn't have been preserved for future generations. But like so many of that period, unless they were written, they were lost, for there was no other way to preserve them. Homer Gay was a welcome addition to the paper. He was at times fiery, adding spice and directness to its writings. He would on occasion become the object of controversy because of his blunt, plain manner. Some would question the position he occupied, but none his honesty or dedication. The period immediately following the move of the paper to Lebanon, Missouri, was difficult for several reasons. Those churches clinging to the use of one cup and no Sunday school were not closely knit together. Many congregations were isolated and struggling to exist as best they could. The line of distinction and fellowship had not been clearly drawn between those preachers who would use and or advocate the use of a plurality of cups. Hence, many of these preachers were still used by churches who opposed cups. Brother Harper saw in this a problem. He knew all too well by experience that if this practice continued, these preachers would gradually and often subtly work their way in, only to ravage the church and cause yet another division.